Most hair care products marketed to African American women have potentially toxic ingredients in them.
The images that were out there did not say that my hair texture was beautiful.
I'm Kara Holzapfel. This week on the Allegheny Front, the movement towards safer beauty products for women of color.
Women are more conscious now about what they put in and on their bodies.
And President Trump announces a replacement for the previous administration's signature climate plan.
We're canceling Obama's illegal anti-coal destroying regulations. The so-called Clean Power Plan.
But how clean is the new plan when it comes to public health? Those and more environmental stories are coming up on the Allegheny Front. Stay with us. There's a movement in the beauty industry towards natural products. Another major trend right now is a focus on African American women. Take Rihanna's Fenty Beauty line, which offers a wide variety of shades for different skin tones. It racked up $100 million in sales just in its first 40 days. But many hair and beauty products, especially ones marketed to African American women, still contain potentially toxic ingredients. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant spoke with some women who are trying to change that.
Malika Cooper was just a kid when she stopped using relaxer to straighten her hair and started wearing dreadlocks, these days called locks.
My grandfather was like, why are you putting those things in your hair? You need to go to the beauty parlor. I was like, Granddad, no, my hair is done. He's like, no, your hair is not done.
The relaxer had lye in it and could burn, but her family confronted her about not using it.
And they came up and they were like, what are you doing? You're cutting your hair off. You're not putting any chemicals in it, you know. And they're like, why are you doing that? I said, because I don't want to put chemicals in my hair anymore.
Now Cooper has made a career of locking and naturally styling hair at her salon in Baltimore and holding expos across the country like this one in Cleveland. Standing on a small stage, she laments that more than 30 years later, little black girls still use chemical relaxers to straighten their hair and are the only ones who have a kiddie perm marketed just to them.
We start at a young age telling our children that they're not beautiful in their own natural state.
But times are changing. More people are becoming aware of chemicals and products like parabens associated with hormonal problems and formaldehyde connected with cancer. Nika Leiba has been leading a survey of ingredients and products at the Environmental Working Group. They focus some of the research on hair products marketed to African American women.
Yeah, less than 25% of the products we assessed scored in the green range, meaning low toxicity.
That means 75% of hair products for African American women contain potentially toxic ingredients. That's compared with 60% of products for the entire population.
It was disheartening.
Hair dyes and relaxers had the highest toxicity ratings. The Environmental Working Group now has a searchable database of more than 73,000 specific products, and Leiba says people are using it. It gets more than 1,000 searches an hour, and she thinks that's why consumers are demanding change.
Hopefully by shining a light on what's available to specific demographics, companies will step up to the plate and offer more green-rated products.
Some major brands like L'Oreal have made cleaner-sounding products marketed to African-American women over the years. Their Dark and Lovely line has long included a relaxer without lye. Although the line is still considered a moderate health hazard by the Environmental Working Group. But when black girls don't use relaxers, some mothers still hear about it.
Is that your daughter? How come her hair isn't good like yours? And these are the things that are being passed on and continue to be passed on. It still happens.
That's lifestyle guru Madam Athena Chang. She recently spoke in Pittsburgh and says black women face lifelong discrimination for wearing their natural hair at work or at school. And sometimes it comes from other black women.
When the internalized racism is so deep that people don't have awareness. There are words that are thrown out still to this day
But Jiang says the move by many Black women to wear natural hair is making a difference in the market. Research from Mintel finds that sales of chemical relaxers plummeted by more than a third between 2012 and 2017, while sales of natural hair styling products jumped. And this isn't small change. Mintel estimates annual sales of Black hair care products at more than $2.5 billion. Chang says that should get companies' attention.
It is not okay that Black women and women of color in general are sidelined and are an afterthought, because that has to change. The time is now. And so brands that are not adding us on, but that we are central from the get-go, it's absolutely necessary, especially the fact that we have so much buying power within this space.
While more African-American women move toward natural styles, Chang says natural doesn't always mean non-toxic. She says there's a void in safe products for Black women. She's actually in the process of introducing a new cosmetics line with ingredients proven safe. Back at the Natural Hair Expo, Monica Green is talking with stylists considering training as natural hair specialists.
You're just, after the fundamentals, you're just going towards natural instead of chemical.
Green runs a healthy hair academy as well as a salon on the west side of Cleveland called So Curly, So Kinky, So Straight. It specializes in natural hair, and she says business is growing.
Women are more conscious now about what they put in and on their bodies.
She says the wave toward natural hair really started around 5 years ago, but women still come into her salon with basic questions.
What can they do with their hair? I want to do a big chop. I want to take all this chemical out of my hair. I want to start with my hair. I just want to wear my hair. And what can I do?
Green says she assures them that natural hair can be fun and beautiful. And she's seeing more young people come in who've never used chemicals. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
And Julie Grant is here with me now.
Hey, Kara.
So we just heard in your story about the Environmental Working Group's product database, and it gives anyone the chance to check out what's known about the ingredients in the cosmetics and hair products they're using or thinking of buying.
Yeah, and as you heard in the story, I spoke with Nika Laiba. She's director of the Environmental Working Group's program that created this database. They call it Skin Deep.
Well, let's hear more of your interview about their project that focuses on hair care products marketed to African-American women.
How do you define something that's specifically targeted to Black women?
It's usually in the advertising and the marketing of the product. And often it's curly, coily, or kinky here. And they say that in the marketing. There are products that are marketed to Asian women and Latino women and other women of color that at some point we hope to assess as well.
And what did you find?
Well, what we found was that Black women have fewer options for healthier products if they're buying products specifically marketed to their demographic. And what we found was that if a Black woman wanted to choose a product that ranked green, meaning the lowest toxicity, they had less than a 25% chance of finding a low-scoring product. Whereas in the general market, 40% of the products score in the green range.
Wow. So what did you think about that?
It was disheartening. But many years ago when we started working on Skin Deep, we didn't see that many green products in general for the general market. And as EWG and other groups brought awareness to the fact that there were ingredients of concern in personal care products, we started to see more green products emerging to the market. And so hopefully by shining a light on what's available to specific demographics, companies will step up to the plate and offer more green-rated products.
So what do you think has happened? I mean, do you think it's the creation of your database in particular, and just in general, the move toward natural foods and more people wanting to understand what's in their food, and now maybe that's moved to, are you seeing just an increase in awareness, and with that coming sort of a push for things that are safer?
Absolutely. That's on the money. I think that, again, in 2004, nobody was thinking that when you put personal care products on your body, you're putting chemicals on your body. They were just thinking that you were putting on a lotion or brushing your teeth. They weren't thinking of the chemicals that were being used. Same thing with cleaning products and with food. One of the other misconceptions that we heard a lot back then was that if it's on store shelves, and we still hear this actually, if it's on store shelves, that means the government has tested it and it's safe. And that's absolutely not true, which is why we developed Skin Deep to show that there are many products on the market that are perfectly legal yet include ingredients of concern. And since then, we've definitely seen a lot of awareness and in big part to Skin Deep and the education that Skin Deep provides. But, you know, a lot of groups have worked on it as well. But people are now super involved in the choices that they make, and they're making more educated decisions based on the ingredients in their products rather than just the claims on the products or the brand name on the product. And it started with food. And we think that, you know, organic food 25 years ago, we think that that's where the cosmetic space is now.
Yeah. So what kind of ingredients are we talking about, and what are the health effects that you're concerned about?
If we're talking about products marketed specifically to Black women, we focus a lot on hair products because that's where you'll find the majority of products marketed specifically to that demographic. And what we were seeing was that the worst category of products were hair dyes and hair straighteners, which isn't surprising because I think most people that are aware of products marketed to Black women know that hair straighteners can be quite caustic. And then hair dyes, not just marketed to Black women, but hair dyes across the board have ingredients like coal tar dyes that has been linked to cancer. And it also can trigger allergic reactions. In terms of other products, the ingredients of concern that we've found are not specific to products marketed to any one demographic. It's ingredients that we see ubiquitously in the market. It's like parabens, which are found in a number of products. They're preservatives. So water-based products like shampoos and conditioners may contain parabens. And these parabens have been linked to endocrine disruption, which means that they can affect the normal functioning of the hormone system. Now, that may sound pretty benign if somebody doesn't fully understand that our entire growth and reproduction system is dependent on hormones. Everything we do is pretty much dependent on the proper functioning of our hormone system. So when you are affecting the hormone system, you can potentially have long-term health impacts.
Some of the girls that we talked with were using chemical relaxers to straighten their hair as young as 8 years old.
And while we can't definitively say that the use of any one product or the use of the exposure to any one ingredient is linked to health impacts, we do know that young Black girls are going through puberty at a much younger age than any other demographic, and at a much younger age than they were going through puberty, you know, 10 and 20 years ago. And part of that could be, and has the medical fraternity has speculated that that's in part due to the endocrine disruptors that they were exposed to at a young age.
And what's the evidence connecting that back to the hair products they're using?
What we can definitively say is that in laboratory tests, these ingredients are showing some of the health effects that we're talking about now. So endocrine disruption, infertility, cancer. So when they're tested in lab animals, we're seeing some of these effects. While we can't definitively, again, say that this one chemical caused this effect in when a human used it, because no human uses one chemical at a time. We're exposed to thousands of chemicals at any one moment. But we are seeing the same health effects in the human population. And what we're also seeing is that when we test the blood, urine, hair and breast milk of our population, we are finding these chemicals. So we know that they're getting into our bodies.
Right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking all this time.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, Julie.
That was the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant speaking with Nika Leiba of the Environmental Working Group via Skype. The product database she was talking about is part of this next story by our summer intern, Anissa Reed. Anissa's a senior in high school and a talented hairstylist. Here's the essay she worked on with us this summer.
Like a lot of days, my friend Michaela Dixon is over today, and I'm doing her hair.
So right now, I'm taking Kayla's hair out of a ponytail,
which can take an hour or longer depending on what she's doing. Kayla likes it curly, with kind of a wet look to it.
We're gonna take some water and spritz it lightly.
I use a chemical relaxer to straighten my hair. Kayla did too when she was younger.
I got my hair relaxed, I think I was like 7, maybe 8.
Was it a choice?
No. No, my mom did it. She was tired of doing my hair. My hair fell out. Really bad. Not like it kind of more broke off than like fell out.
The lye used in most relaxers causes burns and irritations in some people. Now Kayla has natural hair. She doesn't use perms or relaxers. And she does her own hair, or I do. And she wants her curls in tight coils. And she's got a few products that help. Shea Moisture's Curl Enhancing Smoothie and Cantu Curl Activating Cream. And a brand called Eco Styler Gel.
I use the Eco Styler on top of that, like if I'm doing like a wash and go, and I kind of just, it kind of holds my curls and makes sure that they're not frizzy during the day.
Eco Styler Gel doesn't cost much. It has a good hold and can last a long time. We've tried Eco Styler Gel with castor oil and flaxseed, with olive oil, and with argan oil, which all sound natural. But we watch beauty videos on YouTube every day, and we have seen the controversy over Eco Styler.
What up, beauty gang? So today is a pretty interesting video.
This is from a YouTuber known as African Beauty.
Lately, the talk of the town has been like Eco Styler gel and how it's bad for people's hair and stuff.
Kayla and I haven't had a problem with it, but it got me thinking more about what's in these products we use. I came across the Environmental Working Group. They've got a database looking at all kinds of products. And they found that 75% of products targeted towards African American women contain potentially toxic ingredients. So Environmental Working Group created a website so you could check if your hair products and cosmetics are dangerous. We looked up Eco Styler Gel on their database.
And it says that Eco Styler Professional Styling Gel has a score of 5, which means that it's moderate, which means that it's not too dangerous, but it's not the best of being good. The chance of getting cancer is low. Would you consider changing after you've been using this product for how long did you say, 3 years?
Honestly, probably not. Because I mean, like me personally, nothing's ever like happened to me. Like I haven't experienced hair loss or.
But I met someone who feels differently. Madam Athena Chang is a health and wellness expert who visited Pittsburgh recently. She was here to give a talk about why women use products that can harm them. When she was a teenager, she wanted bone straight hair, like what she saw on TV.
But I remember literally one day being in the mirror and crying and wanting to pull my hair out because the images that were out there did not say that my hair texture was beautiful.
But Chang says she started to question why she and so many other African-American women she knew tried to change their skin and hair. She thinks about this for her own daughter.
Our children continue to be brought up. And when it comes to that space, that safer beauty space and the products that we are using from skin lighteners to hair straighteners that make us spend and do these harmful things to ourselves, even for some of us who have the education and understand what it is doing to us on a health level.
I've never really thought about this, but I like my hair to look sleek and healthy. And I'm not ready to give up on Eco Styler Gel or even chemical relaxers. Since I've been looking into all this, I'm paying more attention to ingredients, checking out the products I use, and even thinking about how they could affect me. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Anissa Reed.
Anissa Reed was a summer intern with us through Learn and Earn, an employment opportunity through Partner for Work and Youth Enrichment Services, or YES. YES aims to empower youth through mentorship, education, and enrichment. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.
First of all, I'm not a believer in global warming. I'm not a believer in man-made global warming.
President Trump is making big changes to the environment. Follow what's happening on the Trump on Earth podcast. It's where we pay attention to what the administration does as much as what it says. That's the Trump on Earth podcast from the Allegheny Front and Point Park University at TrumpOnEarth.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surrounded by supporters at a rally in West Virginia on August 21st, President Trump announced the Environmental Protection Agency's new plan for making coal plants more efficient.
We are back. The coal industry is back.
The Affordable Clean Energy Rule is the Trump administration's answer to the Clean Power Plan, which was an EPA policy to reduce carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants under the Obama administration. It never went into effect. The Allegheny Front's energy reporter Reed Frazier is here to talk about the difference in these proposals. Hi, Reed.
Hi, Kara.
The Clean Power Plan was essentially a climate plan meant to reduce carbon emissions from power plants by 32% from 2005 levels by the year 2030. The new Affordable Clean Energy Rule acknowledges that it will increase emissions and, as a result, premature deaths. How?
Well, the new plan is supposed to reduce carbon dioxide, albeit much less than the Clean Power Plan would have. But the way it achieves this is by increasing the efficiency at coal plants. So for every pound of coal they burn, they actually get more electricity out of it. But what happens when you make coal plants more efficient like this is they become more economical to run. So in some scenarios, the coal plants run more often, and so they produce more electricity, but they also produce more of other types of pollution, things like nitrogen oxides or sulfur oxides, which contribute to soot and ozone, and these in turn contribute to heart and lung diseases and are associated with premature deaths from things like heart attacks. One estimate of the EPA's own math shows 1,400 more deaths a year from coal pollution and something like 48,000 more cases of asthma exacerbations from running these coal plants more often.
The Clean Power Plan was seen as overreaching by Republicans. Many states sued EPA over it. The president has called it illegal.
We're canceling Obama's illegal anti-coal destroying regulations. The so-called Clean Power Plan.
So how does this new plan address those concerns?
The Obama plan was more expansive. It treated the whole electricity sector as sort of one entity and regulated the whole electricity sector as such. And of course, the coal industry viewed that as illegal because it was considered outside the fence line. In other words, you're regulating things far past my power plant right here. You're regulating things like solar panels and energy efficiency and some other coal plant switching to natural gas. It has nothing to do with what I'm sending up my smokestack. The Supreme Court has never ruled on which side has the right of it here. But what the Trump administration did was say, okay, we're going to step back. We're only going to regulate what we can inside the fence line. We're not going to regulate the electricity sector as a whole. We're just going to take them as hundreds of individual power plants. And the best way to reduce emissions, in their view, was to make these plants more efficient. I mean, the thing about the Trump plan is it's much more narrow and just less ambitious. You cannot achieve the same types of reductions just through efficiency at individual coal plants as you can looking at the electricity sector as a whole.
So does this new plan achieve anything that the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan set out to accomplish?
I mean, in a way, it sort of does. The Obama plan also called for more efficiency from coal plants. That was one way to achieve some reductions in emissions, but, you know, nothing on the scale of what the Clean Power Plan envisioned?
Well, environmentalists are upset because the new plan exempts coal-fired power plants from some types of pollution requirements. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, what the new plan says is that if plants are going to upgrade their efficiency, they would be exempt from something called new source review. And this is a very wonky technical subject, but basically it's quite simple. What the program does is say, whenever you make a major modification to your facility, you have to undergo a review to make sure that you're using the latest environmental controls. Pollution controls like scrubbers for sulfur dioxide. And one problem with new source review for the coal industry is that it is often very expensive to make any big changes because these pollution controls can add up to hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more. So the coal industry has fought hard to get rid of new source review for many years. It has not yet succeeded, and this is sort of the latest attempt through this new rule. Environmentalists are concerned that this will extend the life of really dirty, polluting coal plants for years to come.
So will the proposed plan affect coal plants in Pennsylvania?
One thing about this plan that is sort of hard to handicap is that there's no set amount that the states have to reduce their emissions by under this plan. The EPA leaves it up to the states to decide what level of carbon controls they're going to put on their own power plants. And for all we know, they could set incredibly low thresholds for improvements. Also, there's inevitably going to be a court fight over this from environmentalists and probably some states. So we don't know what will happen to this in the courts.
We talked a little bit about health impacts, but can you really call this a climate plan?
Well, this is really part of the Trump administration's larger program of propping up the coal industry. And so it should be seen in that context. The climate benefits from this plan are admittedly very modest. It would only lower carbon emissions by like 1.5% from their current trajectory. Here's Tom Schuster from the Sierra Club in Pennsylvania. Here's what he said about it.
The real danger of this is that it's a delaying tactic. It's attempting to delay inevitable obsolescence of coal. And it won't work because there's better technology out there. But it wastes precious time in dealing with our climate crisis.
And I mean, I think the broader point about carbon emissions for this is that we're already heading to a situation where we have a lower carbon footprint from our electricity sector due to things like natural gas and renewables coming online. And in fact, we may meet the goals of the Clean Power Plan anyway, even if we do nothing. But the broader point is that climate experts say we need to do much more than what the Clean Power Plan even says to avoid, you know, really horrific impacts from climate change in, you know, the decades to come.
Okay, we'll have much more on this in the future, I'm sure. Thanks, Reid.
Thank you.
There's more of Reid Frazier's reporting on coal plants at our website, including news that First Energy will begin the process of closing down its Bruce Mansfield plant in Beaver County. It's Pennsylvania's largest coal-fired power plant. The company said it would deactivate the plant in June 2021, but says it's still hoping for a federal bailout to keep it open. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. Thanks for joining us on the Allegheny Front. You can always find us on Facebook and Twitter at Allegheny Front. Kathy Naur is the executive producer of our show. I'm Kara Holsapple.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Heinz Endowments, the Pittsburgh Foundation, and the Park Foundation. The Richard King Mellon Foundation supports our coverage of conservation.